This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. May we be most attentive to it. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Thus far, the reading of God's word to us this morning. May he add his blessing to the reading and to the proclamation of it. Dear beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in a world of about 8 billion people, or where we have 7,000 plus languages, 100 uncontacted tribes, and about 195 nations and a smattering of sovereign states not recognized yet as a nation, and who knows how many special interest groups in the U.S. alone. But with all that diversity, we really have what the Apostle John, we'll get back to the Apostle Matthew in just a bit, but what the Apostle John boils down in his first letter as really only two types of people. And you've heard this before from this very pulpit. And those two types of people are believers and unbelievers, or those in Christ and those who are anti-Christ. Within the type of those who are anti-Christ, there are groups who believe in Christ on an intellectual basis, or perhaps even assent, agree to parts of the Bible, but they don't trust Christ with all their heart as the Bible presents him in his true person and work. They don't trust him as their Savior who alone atoned for their sins. They might even see Christ as one who did make an incredible sacrifice, but his last breath on the cross was more of an investment in them. And now they must work off of that investment and prove themselves as worthy by their own merit. And of course, we have those who are just imposters in the church, wolves among sheep. We can further parse this out and say that in this world, we have those who are poachers, those who are chameleons, and those who are aliens. And to be clear, we are the aliens, but not aliens to God. No, we are aliens to the world. Ephesians 2:19 reminds us of this. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. But if you are saints and members of God's household, then you are aliens or foreigners to the world. As the world hates Jesus, so the world hates those who follow Jesus. Really, the world hates the church, the faithful church. Now, poachers are those who take what is in God's good green earth, and instead of using it to God's glory, they use it to advance themselves. They poach from God's creation. And while it is true that God sends the rain on the just and on the unjust, the question, though, is what does one do with the water that is sent? What does one do with the provision that he has given to the people on this earth? Does one serve God and others, or does one serve oneself? Our text this morning is about exposure, the revealing of a person's heart. So this might get a little bit uncomfortable for us because we are about to be exposed. Well, we've always been really exposed because our mouths give us away. Verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. This verse carries the concern of one's speech from the preceding verse, that which we saw last week. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. And that concern, beloved, is about the origin of man's speech. Man never speaks in isolation or in a vacuum. His words, I mean all of mankind, his and her, man, woman, child, words come from some place, and that place exposes his or her type. That is, whether he or she is a poacher or alien or a chameleon. And a chameleon is one who may act like a Christian, talk even like a Christian, but is not at all interested in submitting to Christ. A faker. And we have those, sadly, in the church. Now this morning, we have three simple points from our scripture lesson. The tree, number one, our first point, the tree yields. Number two, the heart reveals. And three, the mouth seals. Yields, reveals, seals. And all of these points reveal whether the person is in Christ or not. That is, that person is anti-Christ. Again, verse 33 tells us either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Now, the Lord makes his point metaphorically, and it's simply this: the heart is the root, and the language is the fruit. So the heart is the root and the language is the fruit. Or, put it this way, what the tree yields tells us something about the root. What a man speaks tells us something about his heart or her heart. But does verse 33 suggest that we could make a tree good or bad? Well, Matthew Henry had it put it this way once: you may make a crab stock to become a good tree by grafting the shoot to become a good tree, and then the fruit will be good. Ultimately, this speaks of a person being transformed by the choosing of the Father, through the saving of the Son, and by the applying of the Holy Spirit. This is a triune work here, beloved. We would be wise to pause for a moment and hear these words from Romans 11. If the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. So this is the Apostle Paul telling us we who are the Gentiles are being engrafted into this glorious tree of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on and says this: if you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. These are the branches of the old church broken off so that the Gentiles can come in now. But the apostle continues here, but you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. That's something for us to behold, beloved. Because we are the wild Gentile shoots. But we have been grafted into the tree of life. And because of that, and only because of that, we can bear good fruit. Where the former Jewish branches have been broken off because of the rejection, we have been grafted into the tree of life or in Christ. And thus we bear that good, good fruit. The vanity of vanities is watering a tree that comes from bad stock. You can water all day using the richest soil, but the fruit will always be bad, though it might look good to the eyes. So in verse 34, our Lord addresses the established church, the Pharisees, once again. Note what he says. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? Jesus has examined their fruit. He exposes their deception. He sees the root of bitterness. The teachers of the law and the scribes detested Jesus because they were jealous of him. But they were still men of the cloth. And so they kept their wicked and plotting thoughts to themselves. And their public charges at Jesus were so framed in order to give the impression before the masses that they, the Pharisees, were zealous in maintaining the order of the church for the good of the people. There was no good here, beloved. Their fruit was corrupt, and our Lord Jesus Christ just outed them. But now our Lord gets more direct. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you refuse to see what the tree yields, how about what the heart reveals? Jeremiah 6:7, as a well keeps its water fresh, so she, referring to Jerusalem, keeps fresh her evil. Violence and destruction are heard within her. Where do the words of man come? Where do they come? Out of the wellspring of the heart, man speaks. Out of the wellspring of the heart. What you have in your heart is what is amplified by the tongue, by the mouth. How many times has a politician been caught by a hot mic, thinking he or she was off the air and therefore off the record and saying something malicious about another? Friends, we live in times when social media has become liabilities for hot-headed or intoxicated people, and then after a time of cooling down, a person removes a post, but it's too late. Numerous people have lost their jobs for ill-advised posts. They've lost their positions, and they try to cover up, but to no avail. The covering up never succeeds. Anyone can parse and nuance an attempt to talk the way out of something he or she said. But you cannot make beautiful that which is truly ugly. Again, you can't make beautiful that which is truly ugly. Jesus says later in Matthew's account, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead man's bones and uncleanness. At one of those big Reformed conference venues that I had attended years ago, a speaker was doing a plenary session for church planters. And since I was a church planter for a different denomination at that time, I wanted to hear what was being said. And this speaker was a little bit known for his what if. Like, what if dot, dot, dot. What if this happened? So he says, I know a lot of you guys, referring to us church planters, have to rent spaces for some of the craziest places. And you probably have stories to tell about them, these rented spaces. And then came the first of many what ifs. What if some kind of unknown gas was coming into the vents during a church activity? We have a few vents here. And it was a gas that mysteriously removed all our inhibitions, our oral inhibitions, so that your flock would tell you what they really thought of you. What stuff would they say? What would they say about a fellow brother or sister? What things would you say as the pastor? And the answer is nothing that would already be in the heart. Nothing new. It's already there. It's already festering in the heart. At a different conference, a speaker uses a water bottle. Sometimes he used a glass of water. It's one of the trip boys used this illustration. And what happens is a person bumps them and spills out a little bit of that water. Oops, sorry about that. To illustrate how we can get mad at people for making us spill something. But whose water is that? And what is in that water? What is in that glass that someone bumps us and we spill out? It comes out of our mouths, from our hearts. Beloved, what's in your heart? Forget the Capital One credit card commercial. What's in your wallet? The question that can be lifted from our text is this: what's in your heart? The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. It's that simple. It's that plain. A person can attempt to hide the treasure or mask the evil. But in the end, the only person that is deceived big time is a person pretending to be the imposter. Because upon his or her last breath, the jig is officially up. And you will either be condemned or you will be spared by the mercies of Christ. Jesus did the people a favor by calling the Pharisees brood of vipers. He outed them again. He outed them. You could say, as Solomon puts it, like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Those are profound words from Proverbs 25. You see, the people venerated. This is a fancy word meaning respected. The Pharisees. And the Pharisees loved to be venerated. They loved to be respected. But essentially, Jesus was calling them purveyors of evil. You purveyors of evil. A venomous lot out to sting and bite and poison the people. That's what Jesus called them. Vipers. You brood of vipers. These were the wolves, the chameleons in the church. There are some who say, well, they weren't really all that bad, Pastor. They were at least monotheistic, another fancy word meaning they worshiped one God. They had respect for the law, even if they added a few things to it. They kept order in the synagogues. That must count for something. At least Israel was no longer pursuing heathen gods. So that's a plus. So maybe dial it down a bit. Don't be so harsh with the established church of the day. Well, why was Jesus particularly harsh? You see, comparing evil with a greater evil in their past does not make the first evil any less evil. Again, comparing evil with a greater evil does not make the first evil any less evil. It's still evil. At the end of the day, it's still wrong. It is still sin. It is still evil. Jesus never said, well, you boys are bad. But at least not as bad as in the day of the judges. Just clean up your act a little bit, fellas. We'll be good. We'll be good. No, he didn't say that. He called them a brood of vipers. And remember, our Lord's own words, Jesus' own words, come from a place too. His heart! His heart! However, his heart is pure. His heart is undefiled. And he will not stand for that which is not. He will not stand for it. But yet covered up these ugly hearts to look holy and righteous. And look at me. So the tree yields, the heart reveals, and finally our concluding point, the word seals. Verses 36 and 37, I tell you in the days of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I recall in seminary, we were looking at Judgment Day, and our professor had offered two plausible accounts of what will happen on that day. When the book is opened, one will be the reading of all of our sins, every last one of them, page by page, turned and read. For the conclusion of the declaration of not guilty because of the blood and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But everything will be accounted for. Now, that was a tough lesson that day to hear that. There's another plausible interpretation, and that the book will be opened and the pages will be turned and the pages will be blank. Not redacted, not blackened out, blanked, just completely, nothing there. Because Christ removed all of our sin, all of our transgressions. Now, either way, the outcome is good for those who are in Christ, because we have been spared the final judgment. But we need to take account of these words here, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Words and in and of themselves do not justify. Our justification comes from the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that imputation of righteousness. And the teaching point here goes well beyond the wicked speak of the Pharisees. Jesus is saying that such careless words that come as lies, gossip and slander, are condemned. How often do we think of adultery, abortion, same-sex unions, murder, divorce, as the heavy sins? But those little lies and talking about someone behind his or her back, well, those are the insignificant sins. Our Lord detests lies and gossip and speech that sows discord, hatred. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. What does that mean? Every word that we have said. Beloved, among the sheep will be those who have repented of some of the most heinous sins. Those who are numbered on the right. Those who have been kept separated and given to Christ. Those who have repented of some most heinous sins. And among the goats, those to the left, on the side, will be those who did not repent of their loose and harsh tongues. Their flippancy. Their joking. Their malice. Their discord. Be careful in your speech, even in your joking. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. That's from Ephesians 5, verse 4. And that's the point. If you are justified, meaning that by God's free grace you have been pardoned of all of your sins and accepted as righteous in the sight of God, only for the righteousness imputed to you and received by faith. If you've been justified like this, which is the only justification that gives you the right standing before God, then guess what? Guess what will happen? You will talk like a justified person. Imagine that. A transformed heart. A once stony heart made malleable, softened up, speaks as one who has been transformed. Your words will come from a heart of thanksgiving. You can hear that from sanctified Christians. You can. We have a lot of angry people in the church at large. Perhaps even here, we have some anger lingering. And even in the Reformed quarters, there is way too much arrogance about being Reformed, and too much Arminian bashing, and too much vitriol speech thrown out at our president, particular people who hold public office or aspiring to hold public office. Yeah, but you might say, Jesus called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. He's given us license to call a person a spade, a spade. No, that's not what our text says. Our Lord was exposing the venomous hypocrisy in man. That's what he was doing. He was doing the church a great favor, a great favor. The charge given to us is to be careful in our speech, to draw out the good in our hearts because we have been made good. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. And that's the beautiful thing about the true faith, beloved. It's not a hidden treasure. It's not. You can't hide the treasure of Christ because you're lit up like Moses in the burning bush. I mean, how many watts of light did he emanate? Wow. He was exposed to something. And so have you. You have been exposed to the goodness of Christ. Try covering that up. Faith is not a hidden treasure. Granted, we are still sinners, and a loose word will get out at the heat of the moment or the stubbornness from our hearts, and we're good at that. We're really good. We're very critical people. We are. We're very critical. But we ought to be gracious. If our hearts are made good because we are in Christ, then our speech reflects that glorious standing in Him. It just does. You can tell a covenant child from a child who's not in and of the covenant. And beloved, we must thank Him for that heart and tongue transformation. Let's pray.